Hello. Y'all are getting a picture of my good side. What you think? The silence says it all. We're so thankful wherever you are right now that you have joined us today, because today is a special day. As I shared earlier, we got to hang out with Jumpstart Friday night, and each and every part of our Vine fam is part of that, whether you were there or not. Because here's the thing. We kind of called it Jumpstart Weekend. God has blessed us to be able to give to Jumpstart of our treasure. Today we got to celebrate our talent and our time this week. And so we are really, really excited to have Don Williams here from Jumpstart. So make sure you give him a hand. He's going to come up here in just a moment. And as we get ready for that, as he is preparing for that, I just want to say, as he is going to be sharing the vision of Jumpstart today, I just want to say, have any of us, all of us love transformation, don't we? Hey, at the beginning of the year, the transformation is weight loss, isn't it? Now, let me ask you, if you've been on the weight loss roller coaster, how does that go? It's up and down, right? It's up and down. For me, it's deep and wide. Whatever that is, you know, it's the way that the Lord is. But for real, we love that. We celebrate that. When we see somebody says, hey, I'm financially free. At one point, I was buried and drowning in debt, a slave to the lender, a chained to the lender, but I'm no longer there. I've been set free. We celebrate that, right? But you see, here's the thing. Real transformation only happens with Jesus Christ, doesn't it? You see, that's the lasting transformation. It happens from inside out, and that's what Jumpstart is all about. It talks about transformation. So many of us right now, so many people right now, we are so good at putting on masks. We are in a prison of addiction, a prison of relational struggles, financial struggles. As a matter of fact, we try to mask it. But you see, the only way to get free of that prison is Christ and Christ alone. And so that's why I'm excited that Don Williams is going to be here, because physically speaking, we think of prison as somebody locked up behind bars, but anybody who's stuck in sin is in a prison, aren't they? But in Christ alone, they are set free. So Don, would you come on up, brother? We are so thankful that you are here, and I can't wait, and I hope that you lean in. If you want to follow along with us, you can join and follow along online in our app. There's some information for Jumpstart, but I'm going to stop talking, because the Lord's brought Don here, and he's given him a word to share with us. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Brother. All righty.
Go get it.
All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Can you guys hear me pretty good? Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to come out and share with you about the work that God is doing in the lives of the men and women that we serve at Jumpstart. And also, I'd like to thank you guys for taking your time out to come and hang out with our program participants on Friday evening. And just from the chats that I've had with a couple of you, sounds like you had a blast. So I'm glad that worked out for you. But today I want to kind of just take you on a journey of what it's like and what it takes for a man or a woman that's incarcerated, after experiencing that transformation of Christ in their life, what it takes for them to truly reacclimate back to society. And as we go along this journey, we may laugh, we may cry, but at the end of the day, we're going to worship and rejoice, because at the end of the day, God is the one that does all of the work. He did it in my life when I was incarcerated, and I've watched him do it in thousands of others' lives since I've been a part of Jumpstart. So Jumpstart is a faith-based prisoner reentry program, and our main goal is discipleship and reconnecting the men and women that we serve back to their families. If you can imagine a man or a woman that had been in active addiction or living a lifestyle that kept them away from their families, what it's actually like during the holiday to be able to sit back with their family or be reunited with their children. I tell you a story of a gentleman. He did 47 years on a life sentence. He did 3 years on death row and really was never supposed to get out. I was talking to him one day, and he told me, he said, when I was on death row, I used to just sit and look out the window and watch the other inmates cut grass. And he said, God, if you just let me just cut grass again. The simple things is that. So he made parole after doing 47 years. And when he got out, it was coming up upon the holidays, right? And every year that he was incarcerated on Thanksgiving, his sister would come to the prison to have Thanksgiving with him in a visitation room full of hundreds of other people. And he told me, he said, you know, this Thanksgiving is special. He said, because I actually get to sit in my sister's house at her dinner table for Thanksgiving. He said, we can just eat bologna sandwiches. I'm good with that. Just that I'm out and not in a crowded visitation room and can just sit across the table from my sister and other family members. That's huge. That's what Jumpstart strives for. We can go to the next slide. So definitely family reunification. Our program is in now, when we did this, it was 17 institutions when we did this PowerPoint, but since then God has blessed us to be in 19 institutions across the state of South Carolina. There's 22 in the state, and we're in 19 of them, so God has really expanded our influence throughout the state to where we're touching thousands of lives. Our program usually starts in February of each year, and it runs to November. So at any given time, we may have 1,200 participants across the state going through our program. And the other slide that you see is at one of our institutions down in Ennery, South Carolina. You see our leadership team going inside of the prison and inside the chapel where we have our program at. And we have our own curriculum that we use because we truly believe that change and transformation starts in the heart. So our curriculum is built around helping our program participants to identify, one, what is the sin in their life, which leads to the heart transformation, but also what is the root cause that actually led them to prison. And what I mean by that is, yes, a crime was committed that they were convicted of, but it stems way further than that. And that's what we lean into and dig into during class. Here's another story. We had a gentleman by the name of Sam. Sam did 23 years on a life sentence and made parole. So he was going through the program when he made parole, and he was about to get out. And it was at the end of the class. We were about to do graduation, and Sam sat right there on the front row, and he was just crying. So me, I just thought it was tears of joy, you know. So I asked Sam, I said, well, Sam, you're about to get out. Would you like to share, you know, with the group, you know, how this experience has been for you? So he wiped the tears from his eyes, and he stood up in front of the class, and he said, for all of his life, he resented authority. And by going through the Jumpstart program and really allowing, you know, because most time, as Tyler said earlier, we mask that pain and that hurt in our life and those things that cause us to trip up. But Sam said, as he really allowed God to massage his heart as he was going through the Jumpstart program, he finally realized what it was that caused him to resent authority and ultimately led him to prison. And here's his story. So when Sam was young, he grew up in Oconee County, in a trailer park in Oconee County, wooded area. And he said that his daddy was very abusive to his mama and him and some of his other siblings. Well, he had a baby sister, and when she was young, when she was, you know, a baby, that his daddy didn't feel like that was his child. So he told Sam, he said, now, I want you to go outside and get a cinder block and drop it into your sister's crib. And if you don't do it, I'm going to beat you. Now, Sam was around about 10, 11 at that time, right? So he said he didn't do it because he loved his baby sister, and he wasn't going to drop the cinder block in her crib. So he said he took the beating from his daddy. He said a couple years later, his daddy, you know, he said he used to take his sister outside to play a lot in the wooded area, and his daddy came back to him again and said, Sam, when you go outside with your little sister today, I want you to tie her up to a tree and just leave her out there, or I'm going to beat you. Sam took the beating. But what that did was it began to make Sam resent authority and everything that represented authority because of what his daddy was trying to make him do. So what did that do? When Sam went to school, he showed out. When he went to any kind of after-school programs, anything that, I'm not sure how he grew up in as far as church-wise, but anything where he had authority over him, Sam bucked it until ultimately it landed him with a life sentence into the Department of Corrections. And he said even when he got to prison that he bucked against the correction officers and stayed in lockup a good bit of time. But going through the Jumpstart program and really being self-aware and digging into his heart, for the first time in his life, he finally realized what led him to prison. Sam has been out for years and been doing well, but it was that heart change that took place that changed the trajectory of Sam's life. We can go to the next slide. So our program, as we talked about, is inmate-led, but we also have volunteers from all across the state and different geographic areas that go inside the institutions on a weekly basis that work closely with the program participants and the inmates. So the way that works is, when we identify an institution where we want to facilitate our class, we go in and work closely with the chaplain to find out who would be good leaders that have displayed leadership potential, that has been disciplinary free, and is involved in church there at the institution. Once we identify those inmate leaders, then we have our own curriculum, our leadership training that we take them through for 4 weeks before class even starts. Because the program is inmate-led, and the volunteers that come in from the outside, it's kind of that breath of fresh air to let the program participants know that, man, somebody from the outside actually cares. You know, you would be amazed at how many men and women are incarcerated that don't get mail, don't have the capacity to make a phone call because they don't have any money. And they already know that once I get outside, there's this stigma of I'm a criminal, I'm an ex-con, I'm a felon. So to have volunteers from the outside world that they're so afraid of being stereotyped by, to come in on a weekly basis, to give a hug, to give a smile, to give a word of encouragement, it changes the whole game. So that's why we have our volunteers to come in from the outside. The reason we have our inmates the reason why it's inmate led is because you're gonna need somebody. And I can go into my own life. My first time that I was incarcerated, my mama died when I was 3 weeks from getting out. But I had a support group around me inside prison that kind of helped me not get off track for those last 3 weeks. Because most of the time when things like that happen, you have a tendency to lash out, and it can cause you to get in trouble and run your time up. Well, that's why we have the inmate leaders. So when things and life hits behind the fence, you know that volunteer not coming in till next week. But you have an inmate leader or a coach, per se, that will be right there with you to walk through that dark time, and a shoulder to lean on, a shoulder to cry on, so if whatever you're going through, you can go to one of your inmate leaders that live right there where you live and can help you walk through that. The next thing that we do as we go to the next slide is you'll see an assessment here. So every 10 weeks, the program lasts 40 weeks. So every 10 weeks, our inmate leaders and our outside volunteers come together and they do an assessment in all five of these areas on each program participant. Because we graduate our participants in four tiers, blue, green, yellow, and red. Now, blue means that you have shown leadership potential, and if you have enough time left on your sentence, you can come back the following year as an inmate leader to help lead the class. If you graduate green, that means that you have addressed some of the issues in your life, such as Sam did, that had led him to prison. You're not quite leadership material, but you're well on your way to a successful reentry back into society. If you graduate yellow, that means somewhere along the way you've slowed down, whether we've gotten to an issue in your life and you're just not ready to deal with it and you just kind of fall back and coast along. Or if you graduate red, that means you have completely stopped. Most time, those that graduate in red, there is one or two things. They're either just trying to go through the program thinking that it's a get out of jail free card, because a lot of our program participants, when they go up for parole and they find out that the parole board finds out that they're in the Jumpstart program, a lot of time they'll grant them parole, you know, just because they see that they're trying to do something with their life. But a lot of times with the Reds, that means they're either trying to go through Jumpstart as a get out of jail free, or they're just somewhere, they just stop with their growth process. And that happens with all of us in life. You know, that sometimes we just get stagnant and we just stop. But the beautiful thing about it is that those that graduate yellow or red, if they have enough time left on their sentence, they can come back and try it again. And by them doing the assessment every 10 weeks, then if I meet with Johnny and I say, okay, Johnny, you're at a yellow right now. By these next 10 weeks, these are the areas that we're going to work on to help you get up to a green. That's what the inmate leaders do in between classes with each one of the, so we may have 6 or 8 inmate leaders, and we may have 40 to 50 participants going through the program. So each inmate leader is going to have a handful of program participants that he actually serves, coaches, and mentors, okay? So we'll go to the next slide. So that assessment, doing that assessment is key to knowing where each individual is and then helping them to move on to the next step. So let's talk about our transitional program once you complete on the inside. So we have an inside program and an outside program. Once you complete the inside program, those who graduate either green or blue qualify for our outside portion. So out of that 1,000 to 1,200 men and women that go through our program while incarcerated, about half of those actually finish as greens and blues, right? And about another 20 to 30% of that group needs housing because they burned all their bridges. They don't have anywhere to go when they get out. And they need housing. They need all other kind of support services that we offer to them when they come out. So here's how that works. Upon release, on release day, either they catch the bus, you know, because the Department of Corrections give you a great one-way Greyhound ticket to anywhere you want to go to, right? So either, depending on which institution they're coming from, they'll catch the bus, and our transportation department will pick them up at the bus station right here downtown, or maybe one of the inside volunteers may bring them to us, or we may go pick them up depending on where the institution is at. But at any rate, once they come to us, then they receive a binder. They receive a binder for the first 30 days, all of their appointments. So those appointments consist of a mental health evaluation, a full physical with one of our community partners called Access Health that provides health care services to our program participants until they're gainfully employed and their benefits kick in. We take them to get Social Security card, birth certificate, ID. Any of them that need counseling, we have a counseling service that does in-kind work for any of our participants that experienced trauma either before going to prison or while in prison. And so we have all of those wraparound services there for our program participants to help begin to launch them into the destiny and purpose that God has for them. And some of that we had to learn the hard way, especially with the health care, because we learned that Department of Corrections did not give out medication when you're leaving. So say, for instance, if I'm a diabetic and I'm getting out tomorrow, if my medicine ran out today, then, oh, well, you gone out of here tomorrow. So we had a gentleman that didn't have his medication and had an episode one weekend, and we had to rush him to the emergency room. Come to find out, he was a diabetic, and he didn't have enough medication to last him when he got out. So that's why we have our partnership with Access Health, and that's all in that binder. So say, for instance, we have someone that's coming on August the 1st. The Department of Corrections releases on the 1st of every month. So we're looking at our list of who we have coming on August the 1st. Mid-July, we meet with all of our community partners and give them a list of who all we have coming, and they begin to schedule appointments for them. So if it's Access Health and we know that Johnny is coming, but Johnny is a diabetic, soon as he get here in his binder, he's going to have his appointment to Access Health, and they're going to have his medication ready for him. And it's all free of charge. So we have that service, and I told you about the Social Security card, the birth certificate, the ID. All of that is needed in order to get a job. So imagine someone getting out. They done got a one-way bus ticket, which a lot of individuals do. They got a one-way bus ticket to Spartanburg, but they don't have any support when they get here. How they gonna go about getting the Social Security card? The only thing they have is prison ID. You need two forms of ID to get a Social Security card. Where are they gonna get that from? Right? Tell you another story. We had a gentleman that came to the program. He had been incarcerated 7 times throughout his life. When he came to us, this was his 7th time getting out. So about a month after he had been here, one of my other colleagues stopped and talked to him. His name was Willie. He said, "Well, Willie, man, how's everything going since you got here?" He said, "Man, it couldn't be better." He said, "Usually by now, I'd be sleeping under a bridge and on my way back to prison." A lot of people come to Spartanburg and Greenville because it's a lot of manufacturing. They feel like it's a lot of opportunity for work. But if they don't have the support here, then eventually, day one, when they get out, they kind of drift around town, try to get a bed space at Miracle Hill. If that don't work, then they try to flop here or flop there. And eventually, after day two, day three, their stomach start growling. It's like, I need to do something. They go and knocking on doors trying to get a job, but how you going to get a job with just your prison ID? Right? About day five, it's like, man, I got to do what I got to do. My stomach growling. I've been having these same clothes since I got out. I need some money. And a lot of times, without support, they revert back to what they know best and either become a part of the homeless population that's here in Spartanburg, or they work their way back to the Department of Corrections. Did you know that Spartanburg and Greenville is the two highest counties in the state where men and women are being released back to? In 2021, on the last statistics that I read from the Department of Corrections, there were 749 men and women that was released back to Greenville for that year, 701 in Spartanburg. So now we're looking at about 120 people being released back to the upstate area monthly. We're only seeing about 6 to 10 of them that's coming to the Jumpstart program. And then there's other programs where others may be going to. But a high percentage of those individuals are falling by the wayside and don't have the support that they need. So that person that you may see at QT that asks you for a dollar may very well be someone that has just gotten out of prison, and because things wasn't in place for them, then they just had to do what they had to do to survive. We can go to the next slide. So it's important to have these wraparound services for those that's coming to Jumpstart. We always encourage our program participants to get involved with the community and find a way to give back to the community. So a lot of our program participants, when they're in that first 30 to 60 days before they start working, after they get out and they go into their appointments, they'll go volunteer at different places We had one guy that used to go over to the bridge just because he had experienced homelessness in his life, and that was his way of giving back. He'll go over to the bridge and help the homeless with food and clothing, just donating his time. And even after he started working, he still would find time to go over there and help and to be an encouragement as a way of giving back. We can go to the next slide. This is just a picture of one of our program directors and some of our program participants as he was moving around, just checking in with everybody to see how you doing today. Well, is it anything challenging that we could talk about? So every program participant has a mentor that they meet with once or twice per week. And they also have what we call coaches, which is this gentleman here, that kind of moves around and just checks in on everybody, because you never know when you may have a bad day, because we all have them, right? Okay, we can go to the next slide. This is, we offer life skills training. We have a group that comes in on Wednesday mornings, like at 6 o'clock, and they do the 33 series with our program participants. And it's cool they come that early, because a lot of the guys say, man, that really gets my day going. We have our life skills training with the 33 series, and I go to work, and I'm just kind of pumped up for the day. You know, so it's very important that we don't just provide a place to stay and provide employment, but that we also do things to help them enhance their life and their walk with Christ as well. We can go to the next slide. So, as you can see, we have our monthly gathering, which what you guys took part of on Friday night. Once a month, we have what we call game night as well, which is probably on the next slide. We have the game night where different individuals from the community that may be wanting to get their feet wet with prison ministry but may not want to go inside the prison, you can come to our game night and meet our participants. I mean, they do everything from dominoes to checkers to Jenga. Now, I haven't saw them do Twister yet, but they play there. They play everything else, and it really encourages the program participants, because you got to think, when they were on the inside, they had a volunteer from the outside that was coming in, being that breath of fresh air. And then to be on the outside in a community that you was death scared of coming back to because of the stereotype of being an ex-offender, now you have people that actually live in that community that's coming, sitting with you, laughing with you, talking with you, and encouraging you and letting you know that, man, your future can be greater than your past. It does a world of good. And just with simple things as playing a game of spades or playing a game of checkers, you'd be amazed at the relationships that's built over a checkerboard or a domino table, right? So we'll go to the next slide. Meaningful employment. This is very near and dear to my heart, because the way that I got involved with Jumpstart, when I first started, my main goal was to help men and women find meaningful employment. I mean career jobs. Because a lot of times, if you have a checkered past, you don't get that opportunity. So here's another story. There was a gentleman. He and I was incarcerated together. And because both our last name was W, when we got shipped from Spartanburg County to Department of Corrections, we were shackled together all that day, arm in arm and ankle in ankle. So we had a lot of conversation, right? Because it was a ride from 5 that morning, and we had to go to an institution in over in Pelzer called Perry, because we had to go there and wait on the bus to come pick us up to take us to Department of Corrections. And then we had an hour and a half ride down there, right? So we got pretty close, and when we got to R&E, we separated, and we knew each other. We had a previous relationship, you know, where we were pretty good buddies, right? So we got separated, and then finally, one day I was standing in the dorm, and they was bringing in some new folks, and he came in, and he was real excited. You know, he had He was there for simple driving under suspension. The judge had given him 6 months. Now, previously, this guy had been a heroin addict for about 20 years. And at this point in time, he had been clean for about 8, right? So he had been working the same job, had worked his way up. And one day, his wife had to go to work earlier than she normally did. So he said, well, I'll drop you off at work. I'll drive to work, and I'll come right back and get you when I get off. Well, an officer that saw him at a stoplight that knew him from back in the day when he was in active addiction and ran his name and seen that he didn't have a driver's license, pulled him over, took him to jail that morning for driving under suspension. Okay? So he goes to court, and he has half of the money and asks the judge, can I give you half now? And on Friday, can I give you the other half? The judge said, well, looking at your previous record, I'm going to have to sentence you to 6 months. Because, you know, we do get our conviction comes from whatever our past crime was. Did y'all not know that? That's how they're going to judge you based on what you've done in the past. So his employer told him, say, well, it's only 6 months. You'll do 4.5. We'll hold your position for you. We'll just let you take a leave of absence. So he was excited because this was his fourth time being in prison. He had been clean those 8 years. And this was going to be the first time that when he got out of prison, he didn't have to start from ground zero. So he was ecstatic. He was 40. He was 49 years old when he got out and called his employer. They told him they had to fill the position. Rocked his world. And after 8 years of being clean, when crisis hit, he always self-medicated, and this was a major crisis. This is the most major crisis that hit him during his sobriety. He decided to shoot a little bit of dope, and his wife found him dead on the bathroom floor 3 weeks after he had gotten out. That man was my brother. When I got word back in prison, there was another instance where 3 weeks before I get out, death has come again. He got out on January the 8th. He OD'd on February the 2nd. I got out on March the 1st. And it was at that moment in my cell that I was like, God, how do I get the word to employers of all the talent that's back here, and if given the right opportunity, can be an asset to their company? So I spent them last couple weeks writing the employment readiness curriculum. I got out of the prison, and I called down to the Department of Corrections, told them I wanted to volunteer. They said, no, because it used to be 6 months, you can go back in. They said, well, no, on March the 1st, we changed that to 3 years. And she said, and by the way, Mr. Williams, so she on the phone with me pulling all my history up while she's on the phone with me. Because I told her, you know, I was had just gotten out of prison, but I wanted to go back inside. And she said, and by the way, Mr. Williams, if you can stay out of prison for 3 years, we might allow you to come back in. I got real busy then. So I knew I couldn't go into the Department of Corrections, so I grabbed me a consulting contract with the BOP, the Bureau of Prisons. And they have federal inmates that was coming out of the federal system. And every 2 weeks, I would go up to the federal courthouse and do employment readiness training and help those men and women that was coming out of the federal system with gainful employment. I told you that story because although my brother lost his life because of employment and he fell through the cracks, I've dedicated my life and helped thousands of men and women that's come through Jumpstart not to fall through the cracks. And yeah, I lost my brother, but his story lives on. And I'm able to help others not have the same outcome as he did. Whether they have viable work experience or they just have been a career criminal. There's a way to take those transferable skills that they used in the wrong way and get them pointed in the right direction so that the trajectory of their lives can be changed. And we can go to the next slide. I'll show you one of the ways that we do that. We have a social enterprise, Jumpstart Landscaping. It's a commercial landscaping company. So even though we have over 40 employers that partners with us that provide meaningful employment for our program participants, some of our program participants are not work ready yet. So they can go out with our landscaping crew and really get work ethic and build work ethic and just learn what it's like day in and day out to work. And then we transition them over into one of our second chance employers. We can go to the next slide. I'm going to tell you a couple quick stories. So here on this picture, that young lady there, she came through the program, had never had a driver's license all her life. When she came here to the program, her life was transformed. She began to put the pieces of her life back together, and she got her driver's license for the first time in her life. You see, she right outside DMV. She couldn't even make it to the car, and she was snapping pictures, right? The gentleman over here to the right, the tall gentleman, the shorter gentleman is one of our inside mentors down in the Charleston area. The taller gentleman, he was one of the yellows in the program. His name is Paul. So Paul went through the program, and he scored out a yellow. And then the second time he went through, he scored a yellow again. The third time, he quit. And then when he came back that last time, that exact volunteer said, "Man, Paul, listen now. You done did this three times. What's going to be different about this time than all the other times?" He said, "Well," he said, "this past weekend, I found out that my grandson is here." He said, "My son was already here." He said, "So if I don't do something differently, the cycle will never be broken." Paul went through the class, scored out as a blue, came back as a leader, came to the housing, got him a good job out at Titex, and he's one of the supervisors out there now, doing well. And he's been graduated the program for a couple of years. The picture you see down at the bottom is one of our program participants, bought their first home when they graduated the program, because we do financial literacy, and every week each program participants have to turn in a budget sheet and they have to save X number of dollars. They bought their first home. First person in their family to ever be a homeowner. That's huge, isn't it? Yeah. We can go to the next slide. So now we're able to house 50 participants, men and women, right? So about 3 years ago, we knew that we needed to increase our capacity. So we found 26 acres down in the Welford area that we began to develop, and we call it Restoration Village. Now, we have a three-year plan. We have four homes there now, and we still have our other homes spread around Spartanburg County. But once, over the next 3 years, we're going to have 22 homes there, and we're going to be able to increase our capacity from 50 to 96. It's its own little community within a community. So it was a wooded area, and we went and cleared off about 13 acres, and it backs up against 85. It's a walking trail. It's a basketball court there. And like I said, it's four homes, but we're still adding homes. We're going to add two more homes and an opportunity multi-purpose building there by the end of this year, to where not only will we serve Jumpstart participants, but part of that 701 that's coming back to this area that's unemployed or underemployed due to their criminal history, we're going to provide workforce development training there to assist them to be more marketable and more employable as they begin to re-enter back into society. We can go to the next slide. So you just see here is a sky view of Restoration Village and the land there. We can go to the next slide. This is inside the women's home, and we have a couple of men home and women's home, and I can tell all of them are set up the same, but you can see the decor is a little different for the ladies, right? So each one of these homes is 5-bedroom homes, and you can see the kitchen area, and they're single bedrooms, and we did that strategically allowing everyone to have their own room, because when you're incarcerated, you may have one or two roommates. You're going to at least have one for whatever time that you're there. When I was incarcerated the last time, it was three of us in there, and it was a bunk. So I slept in the middle. So I had one guy snoring on the bottom, one guy snoring on the top, and I can't go to sleep. So imagine when I got out, I'm glad that I had home to go back to my wife and kids, but imagine if I had to go somewhere else. I wouldn't want no more roommates. You know? So we strategically make sure that everyone have their own room, their own space, to where they can just go in and just be alone. We can go to the next slide. So as we talk about partnership opportunities, of course, as we said earlier, we have inside mentors. And then, of course, there's always opportunities to give, because some individuals don't have the time to be a mentor or to go inside the prison, but they help financially in order to continue to move the mission forward. Also, another way to partner with us is to help us connect with other individuals that may be interested in participating with Jumpstart. So those are the ways to kind of partner with us and to come out and continue to help those whose lives are in the process of going from the old man into the new man. We can go to the next slide. At this point in time, this concludes our presentation. And again, I want to thank you guys just for, one, allowing me to come and share the stories and the lives that's been transformed, as well as thanking you all for just being a part and giving of your time, talent, and treasure. Let us pray. Dear God, we just come before you, God, and we just thank you for every person that's in this room, God. We thank you for how you have touched hearts, God. We thank you for the time that we've had to laugh, to cry. But God, most of all, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to brag about what you've done in thousands of lives. God, that's what you do. You changed us, regardless of where we've been, God. With you, our future is greater than our past. And God, we're eternally grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
I knew I was lost, and death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come rescue me. Then mercy heard my plea, and Lord, you found
We can celebrate Jesus, right? Hey, the one common thread you've heard throughout the day is Jesus Christ, right? There is no other hope. We have no other hope. Some of us today, I'm going to share it. You've heard me share it 1,000 times, but it's something we got to be reminded of. Some of us today would say, how can a loving God send his creation to hell? And I just want to tell you, it is not God who sends us to hell. It is our choice whether we go to heaven or hell. All of us are born on the Titanic of sin. It has one destination, that is death and death alone. I don't care how great you can swim. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care where you are. If you were with Rose and Jack down on the lower deck, dancing, you're trying to get Rose to scoot over to slide to get you on the door. You got no way to get to the shore. But God loved us enough in his grace and mercy. John 3:16 and 17 reminds us, for God so loves the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, Jesus is our only lifeboat. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the way to get off of the Titanic of sin that will lead only to death. And so we have a choice. Will we stay on the Titanic? We know where it's going. We've seen the movie. We know how this ends. But God said, I love you enough in my grace and mercy to make a way for you to have a choice. And so what's the choice that you make? See, today many in this house are celebrating that we made the choice to trust Jesus. He is our only hope. He is the way, the truth, the life. Many religions will tell you, find the way and you will find life. Jesus is the only one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in just a moment, we're going to say a prayer. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed in this moment, we pray out loud as a family for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. What we're going to be saying in this prayer is, Jesus, I trust you. We're going to trust him alone for our life. We're going to step onto his lifeboat because he is our only hope. So would you please repeat these words after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're in this house or you're online, for the first time, you can say you have surrendered your life to Jesus. You have trusted him as your Lord and Savior. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're online, you can put a raised hand emoji. Hey, maybe you're like, I don't even know what in the world that is. Shoot us a message. You can send us a message in the app. You can comment to us. You can reach out to us throughout the week. Shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you. And for the rest of us, you can look up. I got one more thing before we get out into the world and share Jesus with everyone he places in our path. The reason we celebrate salvation is just like Jumpstart. It's one thing to complete the program, but the only way to continue to grow is to have the support. And the support is found in the local church, because the local church is the hope of the world. That is where Christ Jesus is. So if you have surrendered your life to Christ today for the first time, we want to get you in touch with the local church. If you've already surrendered your life to Christ and you're not in a local church, we would love to invite you to be a part of the Vine. But more importantly, we would say if the Vine's not right with you, or for you, we want to get you to the local church that is. We care that much. You are too important for the kingdom to be stuck on the sideline. Just like Jumpstart asking for support, all that takes is a word of encouragement. Knowing that we are seen, known, and loved by God makes all of the difference. If you don't believe that, go look at your children that have, any of our Vine kids, look at your child and say, I love you. How many children cry when they say, I love you? unless they've done something wrong. You know, that is what it is, but it's all right. You love, are you still, you sure do? Don't go in the bathroom because I made a mess, right? Like, whatever that is, when you say I love you, it makes a difference. Every time that sun comes up, Jesus, Father God, is telling us, I love you. His mercies are new every morning. And so as we get ready to wrap up today, I want to share something that's familiar. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. He says this in Galatians 6:9, and it's so important for each and every one of us. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I'm thankful here at the Vine Church that we are willing to invest, that we are willing to trust the Lord and keep doing the good things He's called us to do, knowing that the harvest will be coming as we get to be the few workers, the few laborers working the harvest that those sowed seeds for before us. And so, Don, if you would come up, I think some folks may or may not have something to say here. I believe we have something for you. And for Jumpstart, we would love to bring back, and it stays between you and Jumpstart, what that is, but we would love, love, love to give this to you.
Basically, I'm going to try not to pass out because public speaking is my biggest fear in the world. But this is just a thank you. We had so much fun hanging out with y'all on Friday night and just hearing about everything that y'all do at Jumpstart. And this is, it's not just a thank you, it's an investment in what you're doing. And just, we appreciate everything.
Don, thank you so much for using the place where God has put you to do great things for these people. It is, I can only imagine, a tough road getting out of prison. Some people were put there because of circumstances in their life. And it's great to know that God has put you in a position that where you can help these people jumpstart the rest of their life the way that God intended. So thank you very much.
Thank y'all so much. How about that today? He said that. He made me think about this. A jumpstart, man. We all need a jumpstart, right? Amen. And the only power comes from the Lord above. So we're going to say that. We can't wait to see you next week. If you can't make next week, you better be here on the 30th. I'm just saying. It's going to be fun. Christmas carols. Come on. It is what it is. It's going to be great. We love you guys. Have an awesome week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.